Aloha with a bulletin of news and sport from RNZ Pacific. I'm Vinny Wiley. Funding from Aotearoa New Zealand's government to help countries impacted by climate change should be used to boost resilience to heat waves and extreme rain events. That's according to an expert. New Zealand's climate change minister James Shaw is committing $1.3 billion to vulnerable countries, with more than half for Pacific nations. New Zealand Climate Change Institute fellow Dr. Luke Harrington says key climate challenges for the Pacific region are more than sea level rise and more intense tropical cyclones.
We've done some research which basically found that the sorts of heat extremes that New Zealand will face after 3.5 degrees of global warming, the Pacific, our neighbours up there, will probably experience those sorts of changes after only 1.5 degrees of warming. So that's, even if we do our very best and achieve the Paris Agreement target, those sorts of heat extremes will already happen in the Pacific.
Dr. Luke Harrington says none of the countries in the OECD, including New Zealand, are doing enough to help countries vulnerable to climate change. France has flown 250 police reinforcements to New Caledonia as part of preparations for the independence referendum on December 12th. French Overseas Minister Sébastien Lecornu says a total of 2,000 police will be brought in for the plebiscite, marking a substantial strengthening of the force compared to the previous two referendums in 2018 and last year. Mr. Lecornu, who has just ended a two-week visit to New Caledonia, has been adamant the vote will be in December as scheduled. Pro-independence leaders have called for the referendum to be deferred until the second half of next year because of COVID's impact on the Kanak population. However, the anti-independence camp wants the December date to be maintained. Chiefs of New Caledonia's Loyalty Islands have forced the closure of the island's airports because they are opposed to the use of the health pass needed for air travel. Flights by Air Caledonia from Noumea to Mare, Lifu and Ovea have been suspended until further notice. The health pass was introduced last week and it can be obtained once 7 days have lapsed after the second jab of an mRNA vaccine and 28 days after getting other vaccines. It's also available for those who have had a fresh negative test or proof of having recovered from COVID-19. The provisions have been resisted by several groups, including unions, which also reject the new local law that makes vaccinations compulsory by the end of the year. The chiefs say they are not against vaccination, but want everybody to be treated the same way. The health service demanded the use of such a pass to limit the spread of COVID-19, which has infected about 10,000 people since the start of the latest community outbreak in September. And over the weekend, the government reimposed a strict lockdown and curfew, forcing restaurants and shops to remain closed again in a renewed effort to fight a resurgence of the virus. Meanwhile, American Samoa's Governor Lemanu Peletimaonga says his administration has no plans to close borders on commercial flights between Honolulu and Pangopango. Lemanu was among 200-plus passengers on the September 13th flight from Honolulu, where the first imported positive COVID case was identified. Lemanu has met with his cabinet for the first time in person since he left for Honolulu in July. He's seen firsthand the difficulties and challenges faced with resuming commercial flights and says while they cannot stop them, they are reduced to one a month. With three COVID tests being conducted before departing Honolulu for American Samoa and quarantine travel on arrival in Pangopango, Lemanu said the safety protocols for incoming travellers is working. The death toll continues to rise around Papua New Guinea and an emergency management team has arrived in Port Moresby from Australia to help health officials respond to the surging cases. Port Moresby General Hospitals recorded 35 COVID deaths in the past 3 weeks and Chief Executive Officer Dr. Paki Molumi says this is the largest surge so far in positive cases, increasing from 35 to 89% in the last month. Dr. Molumi says the hospital's workforce is strained after 89 staff tested positive for the COVID-19 virus and are now isolating at home. The Australian High Commission said the team that landed in Port Moresby included three medical specialists, two logisticians, staff from the Emergency Management Australia office and Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Australia is also providing 40 oxygen concentrators for patients in hospitals. The Glenrowan funeral homes in Goroka and Leigh have stopped receiving the bodies of those who have died from COVID-19. Funeral Director John Simon Glanville says any deaths requiring mortuary and embalming services must first be taken to the General Hospital for a death certificate and to be swabbed and confirmed negative for COVID-19. Mr. Glanville's apologised, saying it's to protect against COVID after a staff member tested positive in Leigh. The Morobe COVID-19 Emergency Operations Centre says both the stadium and hospital morgues are also full. The European Union's medicines regulators began evaluating the use of Pfizer's COVID vaccine in children between 5 and 11 years of age. Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech say their data shows the vaccine induces a strong immune response in the age group after a trial of more than 2,000 youngsters. While children are less susceptible to severe COVID-19, they can spread the virus to others. French Polynesia's former president Gaston Floss has been sentenced to 6 months home detention for filing an incomplete declaration of assets and interests in 2014. Floss has been allowed to serve his sentence at home in Tahiti on an electronic bracelet instead of jail because he's 90 years old. The court in Paris heard that he omitted to declare a $1.1 million stake in a property company, $260,000 in savings, and 138 artworks that are worth an estimated $300,000. Floss was given a 6 month sentence and fined $50,000. The date for 7 by elections in Samoa has been changed after a revised notice issued by the Speaker. A social media post by the Office of the Electoral Commission said polling day will now be November 26th and pre-polling will be held 2 days earlier on the 24th. The Office of the Electoral Commission also said that the writ for elections for all 7 constituencies will now be issued on October 29th. Nominations for candidates for all 7 electoral constituencies will open on the 1st of November and close on the 5th. The 7 by-elections have been called as a result of petitions against election night winners in the April general elections. 6 of the by-elections will be at constituencies on the island of Upolu and only 1 will be held on the Big Island, Savai, for the Falealupo electoral constituency. A member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the Vanuatu capital, Port Vila, is calling on members of churches and the public to help the Solomon Islands nurses stranded there. Elder Lawrence Dick says the Solomon's nurses whose contracts ended recently cannot return to the country yet due to COVID-19. He made the appeal for help after members of his church visited the group taking food and other basic supplies. He says since their contracts ended, they are still waiting for the Vanuatu government to give them a meal allowance. Last week, the Director General of Health said the nurses should sign a short-term contract while waiting for their repatriation flight, scheduled to depart on November the 4th. And the Samoa District Court has slapped the Ana Alofi No. 4 MP, Toiole Sulusulu Cedric Schuster, with a $2,000 fine. He's also been discharged without conviction. The sentence was handed down by District Court Judge Alalatoa Rosella Papali'i. Toiole Sulusulu pleaded guilty to 3 related traffic offences through his lawyer in July. He was named Minister of Natural Resources and Environment and Minister of Tourism during the Fast Party swearing-in ceremony in May. However, immediately after the charges were filed, he stepped down as a cabinet minister. To your sports headlines, and the England rugby coach Eddie Jones has included 4 uncapped players in his squad for the November internationals against Tonga, Australia and South Africa. But there's no recall for some big names that Jones omitted from the initial training squad, including the Saracens duo Marco and Billy Vunipola. It means the brothers will miss the chance to play against the Ikaletahi team that their father represented in the 90s. Eddie Jones says Tonga always play a strong physical game, and Australia and South Africa have also had extended periods together and will be a good challenge for his side. The United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee says its decision to make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory for those competing at next year's Winter Olympics in Beijing has been met with some resistance. In a bid to create a safe environment and restore some level of consistency in planning, the committee announced last month Team USA athletes hoping to compete in Beijing will be required to be fully vaccinated. Meanwhile, the Beijing Olympics flame has been lit at Greece's ancient Olympia just over 100 days before the start of the Games in February, as a handful of Tibetan protesters attempted to protest inside the ancient site. The Chinese capital will become the first city to host both the Winter and Summer Games in February, but the protests and calls for boycotts over China's human rights record have marred the run-up so far. Guam's lost their opening match in their Davis Cup tie in Bahrain. The US territory was beaten 3-0 against the United Arab Emirates in their first pool match, with Camden Camacho and Mason Caldwell both losing their singles rubbers in straight sets, while Camacho and Derek Okuhama was beaten 6-2, 6-4 in the doubles. Guam are among 12 teams competing in Asia-Oceania Group 4 this week and are back in action today against Saudi Arabia, who swept Bahrain 3-0 in their first-up encounter. And Alexander Lacazette scored deep into injury time to rescue a point for Arsenal as club legend Patrick Vieira was denied a winning return with his side Crystal Palace. The game ended 2-2. Second-half goals from Christian Benteke and Odson Edouard turned the match on its head after Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang gave Arsenal an early lead. That's the latest in news and sport from RNZ Pacific.